Morning all. Morning. Are you fed up with this weather yet? It's lovely, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. Never mind. My garden is bone dry. My plants are dying. So it's going to rain at last. Mark 11, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden, and tie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their own coats on the road, while others spread branches they had cut out in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Palm Sunday. I hope you all got a copy of the notes. Anyone who hasn't, put up your hand. Oh, you've all got it. Good. So, this is an incredible account. Those who went ahead shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna is the highest heaven." This was the culmination. This was the glory point of over 3.5 years ministry. The disciples had been with him over 3 years. They followed him here, there, and everywhere. And now it was all coming together. As Matthew said, the crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest heaven." Fantastic. "Blessed is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee," it says a little later. And that one is often missed, but it's a very significant one because it says, blessed. It doesn't say blessed is a prophet. It says blessed is the prophet. Now, when you read through the New Testament, you need to, particularly the Gospels, you need to look at those passages talking about Jesus and those people who said that he was a prophet, as opposed to those people who said he was the prophet. The prophet was the title of the Messiah. If you ask people who's the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, they'll often think, "Oh, it's Isaiah, great evangelical prophet." But the greatest prophet in the Old Testament was Moses. See, a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. Doesn't necessarily talk about the future. A prophet from God talks about what God has done in the past, what he's doing today, or what he's going to do in the future. So Moses was the great mouthpiece of God in the Old Testament. And this is what Moses said: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." And the prophet of the New Testament is Jesus Christ, because he was the mouthpiece of God in the New Testament that we have. So when you see the prophet, pay special attention to it. He is, what is he? He's the son of David. He comes in the name of the Lord. He is the prophet. And John said they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This was an amazing day. You can imagine the elation the 12 felt, or 11 of them at least, felt great. You know, this was it at last. But why on a donkey or a colt? Why not on a white stallion? That would have been more fitting, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Well, Matthew 21:4-5 says that this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Zechariah 9:9. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, fine. So this is what it is. It was showing that he was the king. Your king is coming to you. He's not going to be like other kings. He's going to be a gentle king. We could do with a gentle president in America, couldn't we? Dear me. Could do with a gentle person running China. A gentle person running Russia. It's not a quality we often associate with leaders. But Jesus, well, kids chorus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Yes, absolutely. So was riding on a donkey to show Jesus' humility? Is that why he did it? He did it to fulfill that prophecy from Zechariah. But there may have been something far more significant, which I've never read about in a book before, but it struck me years ago when I was reading the book of Kings. In 1 Kings 32:35, it says, when Solomon was to be the next king, David had decided Solomon was his heir. King David said, call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servant with you and have Solomon my son mount my own mule. Not a white stallion, a lowly mule. Yes, the king had a mule. That was his special animal. Solomon, my son, mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, long live King Solomon. Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Wow. Can you see the similarities there between Solomon and Jesus? Look at that. He is to come and sit on my throne. Where is Jesus now? Sitting on God's throne at his right hand. So, riding this mule into Jerusalem, riding this colt into Jerusalem, did the people, they called him son of David. Well, what do we have? A son of David. Solomon was a son of David, and he was paraded before the people on a mule. And we have Jesus is the son of David, entering Jerusalem on a donkey. Did the people see any similarity there? I don't know. I have no idea. But there is a great similarity between Solomon as a son of David and Jesus as the son of David. And as you said, Hosanna basically means save. So the people were seeing Jesus as the Savior, the prophet, the son of David, the king of Israel. This is what they were saying to him. This was either true or blasphemy. It's no wonder some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And of course, what he said to them, well, if I told them to shut up, the stones would start saying it. So we have this great Palm Sunday. And not only is it a great Palm Sunday, it's a great Monday, a great Tuesday, a great Wednesday, a great Thursday. It's a fantastic week. Just sit there and read through the Gospels. Not a chapter a day. Sit there, have a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and just read through from Palm Sunday until the Last Supper. And it's incredible what you get there. You're just some of the things. Matthew 21:12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the table of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Wow, that was great, wasn't it, watching him do that? Can imagine the people thinking it. Wow. Pharisees didn't like it, but never mind. Matthew 21:14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. People thought this was absolutely fantastic. But what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and the priests think of it? Not a lot. What did they think a little earlier, a couple of weeks earlier, or 3 weeks earlier, or 4 weeks earlier, when he raised Lazarus from the dead? What did they say? We got to kill this guy. But not only must we kill Jesus, we also ought to kill the evidence. So we ought to kill Lazarus as well. That's what they said. Wow, incredible, yeah. When the crowd heard, they were astonished at his teaching. There's some fantastic teaching. There's an awful lot in that last week. Incredible amount in the Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. Incredible teaching. They came, they asked him awkward questions. He replied with even more awkward ones. If you raise tariffs, Trump, we'll raise tariffs even higher, says China. Here we go. Ah, dear oh me. So they tried to catch him out. They couldn't catch him out. The people, the whole crowds, were amazed at his teaching. All the people hung on his words. The people even came very early in the morning. I don't know how many hours he must have spent in that temple teaching and healing and doing all sorts of things in that last week. It was an incredible week. Absolutely amazing. And it all came to a climax at the great Passover feast. Great feast. There just weren't 12 there. There were more than 12 at the Passover feast, if you read carefully. It was, well, the greatest feast of the year, wasn't it? And there was Jesus. It was an unusual feast in the sense there were no priests present. It was a feast that was led by the senior male of the household. And of course, Jesus was the senior male and he officiated at that feast. So they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. They shouted, Hosanna to the King of Israel. And then 12, 14 hours, 16 hours after that Passover meal, they shouted, crucify him. Why? Why the change? Well, after the Passover meal, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas came up and kissed Jesus. And the soldiers arrested him. 10 of the disciples fled, plus others like young Mark. And as I said, there was more than just the dozen at the feast, the Passover meal. Peter hung around, brave Peter. He denied him 3 times. So they arrested Jesus and they took him before the Sanhedrin and the high priests. And we read that they arrested Jesus and the soldiers of the high priest bound him, spat on his face, and struck him with their fists. Wasn't a mere slap across the cheeks. It was a thumping in the face by these soldiers, which would have caused his face to have been bloodied and bruised. Mark says, they began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him with his fists. And the guards took him and beat him. And then they took him to Pilate. And Pilate interviewed him, stood him in front of the people, and probably with sarcasm in his voice, said, "What then shall I do with the one you call King of the Jews?" And what was their answer to that? As the crowd looked on, they didn't see him riding on a donkey in great splendor as the son of David. They saw a bloodied and bruised and battered and bound Jesus, a prisoner standing before a pagan Gentile Roman governor. This was no king of Israel. This was no son of David. I mean, this was no savior. There was no kingdom coming in. And so they shouted, "Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Crucify Jesus." Incredible turn of events. An understandable reaction on that Friday, do you think? Well, Stuart Townsend said, "Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out amongst the scoffers. If I had been there, would I have shouted, 'Crucify him?' Would I have been one of the scoffers? Would my hopes have been so dashed from the previous 5 days that I would have just said, 'Crucify him?' I don't know. I don't know. But they did crucify him. And amazingly, absolutely, totally amazingly, on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." If ever there was a prayer of grace, an act of grace, that was it. So, my Christian life hasn't been perfect. I've had my ups, I've had my downs. But I know I've always been forgiven, and I know he's never stopped loving me. How deep the Father's love for us. Let's sing that song. Can we please?